everybody. What's happening, everybody? Tuesday, August 13th, 2024. My name is Kevin Smith. Thank you all so much for tuning into Loud Majority Live. We got a jam-packed show for you guys today. Obviously, we all know what happened last night. Donald Trump and Elon Musk basically broke the internet. The numbers for last night were absolutely out of control, and the mainstream media is in complete and utter meltdown mode. Meltdown mode. We are going to show you guys an awesome Twitter thread today of the top 12, what we and some of my friends on Twitter, on X, have described as prestitutes. Prestitutes, which would be prostitutes, just in the mainstream media. We're going to go over all of that. Also, the Prime Minister of the UK was thrown out of a bar in London yesterday for being anti-English, which is just something that I find to be really funny. Stephen Colbert finally makes a joke on his show, though unintentionally. New York City's Dominican Day Parade got shut down because they can't stop stabbing each other. And at the end of the show today, we are going to play our favorite game of who did an illegal immigrant rape and murder today? Because we've got another one, this time on the iconic Coney Island boardwalk. Guys, hit that thumbs up button. Share this video out all over the place. Let me know where you're watching from. You guys know how much I love it. Let's see what's going on. Also, big happy birthday to our friend Callie in the chat. Very happy birthday. She turns 27 today. She's 27 years old today. Everybody say happy birthday to her. What's happening, everybody? Also, guys, really excited. Got a big guest coming on tomorrow, both in physical stature and in Republican activism presence. Big guest coming on tomorrow. Super excited about that. So make sure you guys keep it locked in here for all of that. What is happening, everybody? How's things going, McGroin crew? How are we doing? Dalton Wright, what's going on? Also, big announcement, guys. If any of you would like to partake in assisting the Trump campaign, do me a favor, shoot me a message on X, and I will get you the details over there. I've been named a Trump Force captain here in the state of New York. However, you are able to help out wherever you are. Make sure you guys shoot me a message if you would. I don't care where you're watching. Hit me up on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter. Or let's be honest, most of you have my number at this point. So most of you have my number. Let's dive right into it. So, obviously, the mainstream media is doing yeoman's work to go after Elon Musk and Donald Trump for what happened last night. And look, admittedly, there were some tech problems at the very beginning. There's no doubting it. There's no doubt about that. Not as bad as the Ron DeSantis space, where he wasted his presidential announcement because the people who run his campaign are idiots. Because the people who run his campaign are actually dumb. Elon Musk said that there was a DDoS attack on X last night. Now, admittedly, I have absolutely no idea what that means. Apparently, it's a denial of service something. I'm sure Ryan can explain that better in the next show. It's happened sometimes to large platforms like X and Facebook when all these things go out. So the interview, well, not really an interview, it was really a conversation, was about 40 minutes delayed. They ended up starting it up, and they spoke for a little bit over an hour. Now, before we get into the substance of this, I just want to really take a moment to go over the gravity of what yesterday was. You have arguably, and then you could probably throw a few other names in there. You have arguably the two most famous people on the planet, Donald Trump and Elon Musk, basically just having a conversation, shooting the shit for an hour for tens of millions of people to see. That is a historic moment in the history of media. Why? Have there been incredible interviews before? Absolutely. There's been people on 60 Minutes who have interviewed Fidel Castro and Osama bin Laden and presidents, world leaders, Gandhi, the Queen, the Princess Diana interview from the 90s. Huge historical moments. But they have always been through the filter of the mainstream media. What last night proved, what it showed to those over at CBS and NBC and ABC and CNN, Fox, anyone on television, anybody who's got a studio in New York or LA, is that we don't need you. We don't need you. If you are a regular on X Spaces, as I am, as I know many of you are, you know that we hear from the horse's mouth on numerous occasions from members of Congress, whether it's Matt Gaetz or Nancy Mace or Thomas Massey or Corey Mills jumps in all the time, Byron Donalds, Lauren Boebert. You hear directly from them. And not in some Adderall-laced Instagram Live like we get AOC. You get actual dialogue. And a lot of those people that I just, a couple of the people I just named, I disagree with on a lot of fundamental policies. However, I will stand behind them at all times because they are willing. They are willing to join the conversation with regular people. And I think that's incredibly important. I think last night, and look, some people are going to call me a sycophant and, you know, I'm riding Elon Musk or, you know, whatever Trump does, you agree with. No, it was a real turning stone, a real touchstone, a real turning point in American media. And there's been these instances before in media. But look, there is no interview Donald Trump could do that would reach 80 million people. Which is how many people viewed this. I want to put this into the context of the most watched events on television every single year. The Super Bowl. The Super Bowl draws in about 25 million people. Somewhere between 25 and 35, depending on the teams, depending on what happens. 25 and 35. 80 million people viewed this yesterday. And I'm not saying every one of them watched. I'm not saying they listened the entire time. But if you looked at those spaces, there were people in there of all political ilk. Everybody was tuning in. I think last night was a real touchstone on the way media is going to be consumed moving forward. So if you're not on Twitter and you're not into spaces and you don't get what's going on, I want to make it very clear. We break news in these things far before the mainstream media does. It's instantaneous. With very good people out there, my friend Nick Sorter being one of them. People out there having real conversations with real people. And look, we argue a lot. There's a lot of people on Twitter I don't like. I'm talking to you, Ed. I'm talking to you, Brian. But you get an actual dialogue between normal folks. And I think that's important. And I think what last night did was really let the media know that they are rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. Now, I'm going to give you a quick example of what happened after that Twitter space last night. Because they spoke continuously for a little over an hour. They discussed policy. They talked about immigration. Elon talked about some of his wish list sort of things. You know, a manned base on the moon. A tunnel that brings you from LA to San Francisco at an incredibly high speed. Wish list sort of stuff that the real life Iron Man would probably come up with. They talked about the assassination attempt. You heard Donald Trump speak about things that he's never talked about before because he's never been interviewed. He's never been interviewed by somebody with the intellect of Elon Musk. And whether you like him, you don't like him, up, down, backwards, and sideways. The guy's brilliant. He's a genius. And most of the people writing for outlets like USA Today, well, they're not. So I'm going to give you a quick clip. An hour and a little bit over an hour. And this is what you got from CNN.
Began with 40 minutes of silence and then a bropocalypse of politics. No matter how you frame it or what caused the glitch, What was finally said between Donald Trump and Elon Musk at last night's Big X event can largely be defined as a rant filled with familiar lies and lines of attack.
Kamala wouldn't have this conversation. She can't because she's not smart. No. You know, she's not a smart person. She is a radical left San Francisco liberal, and now she's trying to protect. Now she's looking like she wants to be more Trump than Trump, if that's possible. I don't think it's possible, but she wants to be more Trump than Trump. She's terrible, but she's getting a free ride.
All right, but did it do what it was designed to do, which was to put the brakes on Harris's momentum? Or
I want you to imagine this for a second. I want you to imagine you're CNN. You take an hour and we'll call it an hour and 10 minutes, hour and 5 minutes. Take an hour and 10 minute conversation and you play 14 seconds of it. Cut up. And you think that is appropriate analysis of a conversation between the former and future president of the United States and the second richest man in the world. Imagine that. CNN could have, if they wanted to, they could have just run the Twitter space. We did it here at LFA. Benny Johnson did it. Tim Pool did it. Every podcaster in the world had their phone next to their microphone playing the Twitter space because only a certain number of people could get in. I believe they capped the people in the space at like 1.2, 1.3 million. But everybody was listening. CNN could have just played it. People would have watched. But they chose not to. They chose to show you three sentences of it. But CNN was not alone in this sort of drunken rambling about it. I'm going to show you guys some takes from the mainstream media in just a second that I honestly, they are so cringe. They are so bad that honestly, they just make me laugh. They just make me laugh. Before we get to that, guys, Mike Lindell.
You're still looking good.
I'm still feeling good. You know, I've got all your MyPillow products. Mattress topper, bed sheets, MyPillows, towels, slippers, blankets, sleepwear, dog.
Whoa, Charles. Everyone now can get MyPillow products at huge discounts at MyPillow.com. That's right. Now's the time to go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to take advantage of our 3-in-1 sale. We're bringing you exciting new products, overstock specials, and closeout deals you won't find anywhere else. For example, when you buy one of our brand new MyPillow 2.0s, you get another one absolutely free. And with our overstock sale, you save 50% on our luxurious Giza Dream bed sheets. That's as low as $29.99 for the best sheets ever. And with our biggest closeout special, you get our all-season slippers for only $35. Or our sandals and slides for just $25. Quantities are limited, and once they're gone, they're gone.
Guys, head on over to MyPillow.com, promo code LOUD. That's MyPillow.com, promo code LOUD for up to 80% off everything on the website. That's MyPillow.com, promo code LOUD. So my friend Simon Gotick put together a little Twitter thread of the mainstream media and their takes, or at least his top 12 what do we call them? Prestitutes. I like this. Prestitutes of last night. So let's pop this up onto the screen. Here is USA Today. Trump rambles, slurs his way through Elon Musk interview. It was an unmitigated disaster. No, what's an unmitigated disaster is the fact that the only time anybody reads USA Today is when they are waiting in the waiting room of a lobby. Let's move on to number two from The Guardian. Donald Trump is in full meltdown mode. Could he destroy his own campaign? From someone whose name I can't pronounce. That's The Guardian. The Verge. The Elon Trump interview on X started with an immediate tech disaster. But even though Elon Musk said it was a DDoS attack, The Verge was told it was not. Not true. Musk tries to help Trump halt the Harris surge. From CNN. Politico. Trump's interview with Musk dissolves into yet another X catastrophe. Here we go. What is this from? What is that from? Another one from The Guardian. A terrible newspaper. The Musk-Trump X interview, a surprisingly dull meeting of two planet-sized egos. That sounds objective. The Elon Musk interview with Donald Trump was an embarrassing disaster from some guy named Bill Goodykuntz from the Arizona Republic. Here's The Atlantic. Elon Musk throws a Trump rally. X is a safe space for the far right. Ooh. Rolling Stone then no longer talks about music. After the Trump disaster, the disastrous Musk interview, Harris mocks rich guys who can't run a live stream. Matter of fact, this article was so important that it actually took two people to write it. The Washington Post. Trump's Musk interview is the latest effort to shore up his white male base. Of course, because we can't even just have two people talking without bringing race and gender into it. David Frum over at The Atlantic, someone that no one has given a shit about in, I don't know, a decade. The Trump campaign's please shut up phase. I don't know what that means. The former president's interview with Elon Musk was a reminder that overfamiliarity with a candidate can breed contempt. No, it doesn't. Musk and Trump go all in on the far right embrace. Wow. These people are sick. And here's some interesting stuff from CBS News. Let me pop this up. Make sure you guys can see this. Make sure you guys can see this one right. Here are two of the exact articles from CBS talking about the exact same thing. Former President Trump vows to stop taxing tips would cost the federal government up to $250 billion over 10 years, according to the nonpartisan watchdog group. CBS then said that Vice President Kamala Harris is rolling out a new policy position. She says she'll fight to end taxes on tips and hospitality workers. So when Donald Trump says it, we get into all the negatives about how it's going to cost the federal government. But when Kamala Harris says it, well, then it's just a new policy position. Firstly, it's not a new policy position. Number one, Ron Paul brought it up like 15 years ago. But in the context of this campaign, Donald Trump said it like 3 months ago. Because Kamala Harris has never had an original thought of her own. That is the media bias right there. That is the problem. And that is what is going to lead us into our next story. Because Stephen Colbert... Hold on a minute. I do want to go over the substance of the... I got a little ahead of myself there. Sorry about that. I did want to go over the takeaways from it in case you guys didn't watch and in case you're not on X. Because honestly, I thought it was interesting. I give it like a 7 or 8 out of 10. It wasn't mind-blowing. The conversation in and of itself, obviously there were tech issues, but as far as substance goes, I'll give it a 7.5. Former President Trump returned to X on Monday evening for an interview with Elon Musk. This is from the Washington Examiner. It started with a bumpy rollout that featured delays preventing the event from beginning on time. Eventually, more than 40 minutes later, the interview started with more than 1.3 million listeners to the conversation between the two men. During the conversation, Trump described the failed assassination attempt on his life as not pleasant. That's an understatement. Trump had previously claimed he would stay away from it, but Elon asked about it, so he brought it up. Vice President Kamala Harris was also frequently brought up by Trump as the border czar, which the White House has rejected as a title, even though we all saw it with our own eyes. Trump also spent that time during the two-hour conversation discussing foreign policy, including some of America's toughest adversaries. Five big takeaways from it. Obviously, Musk said there was a cyber attack that delayed the event as the Harris campaign poked fun at him, which I think is kind of funny that the Harris campaign decided to make fun of the guy who plans on putting a human being on Mars when Kamala Harris can't make it through a sentence. This is not challenging. Elon Musk claimed there was a massive DDoS attack on X, which was responsible for the delays, before updating users that the event would go on with a smaller size listener, that audio would be posted immediately afterwards. The event didn't start until 42 minutes after 8, on the East Coast. Trump tried to spin the botched start with a positive from Musk, saying, "Congratulations, because I see you broke every record in the book. We view that as an honor." The Harris campaign reposted an old Trump post of him mocking DeSantis' botched Twitter space event on Truth Social, which is kind of funny. I'm going to be honest with you, that's pretty funny. After the event was successfully relaunched, it continued without a problem. However, some ex-users were quick to comment that Trump sounded off during times. Yeah, some people wanted to claim that Donald Trump had a lisp during the event, which I didn't hear. But I guess some people want to claim that. I don't really know. Maybe because he was talking through the microphone on his phone. There's a lot of different things that could have happened there. But I thought he sounded totally fine. Obviously, Donald Trump went over the assassination attempt, calling it a miracle, saying the bigger miracle was that I was looking in the exact direction of the shooter. And so it hit. It hit me at an angle that was far less than any other angle. So that was the miracle. That was, for those people who believe in God, I think we all got to start thinking about that. You have to, you know. I'm a believer, and now I'm more of a believer. And look, a lot of people wanted to question Donald Trump's faith both before and after the assassination attempt. However, look, I think if you survive being shot at, I think everybody has some sort of religious moment in that time period. I don't care who you are. Donald Trump spoke about her being the border czar. The former president reprised a familiar line of attack against Harris, repeatedly referring to her as a liar for rejecting the term border czar, which Democrats claimed she never had. But in March 2001, Biden tapped her as the head of the effort to handle the migration crisis at the southern border. And address the root causes. I'll tell you what the root causes are, Kamala Harris. Those countries suck, and this country is good, so people who live in a shitty country want to live in a nice country. Those are your root causes. Now close the border. The former president also needled Harris for her lack of questioning from the press since she became the Democratic nominee for president. Kamala wouldn't have this conversation. She can't because she's not too smart. Later in the interview, Trump claimed that the Harris cover on Time magazine reminded him of his wife Melania, which is pretty funny. It's pretty funny. Let's see how that goes. Of course, Donald Trump recounts his anecdote with Putin over Ukraine. Trump has repeatedly warned that World War III could explode if international crises are not resolved. In an anecdote told to Musk, Trump detailed the conversation he had with Vladimir Putin in which he warned him not to invade Russia. Putin wasn't the only world leader with questionable ethics that Trump praised. And look, as far as this goes, people always claiming that Donald Trump is praising dictators. That's not what he's doing. It's the old method of carrot and sticks. Maybe you can get a little bit more out of somebody if you don't go out of your way to treat them like they're an asshole. And for a long time, that's what Democrats have done. You think Vladimir Putin or Xi Jinping, while of course they are dictators and they are genuinely bad people, do you think that they're going to do what you ask them to do when you talk shit about them on the world stage? No. Donald Trump builds rapport with people and then gets what he wants out of them. That's what business is. That's what selling is. And Donald Trump, of course, been a salesman his entire life. Sure, he claimed that Kim Jong-un was a nice guy. I'm sure he was a nice guy to him. But North Korea didn't mess around. And I'd rather have that than somebody who talks tough in front of Leslie Stahl, but then backs down over in front of that backs down on the world stage in front of some of these people. Now Donald Trump got to something that I think is a little silly. He got to something that I think is a little silly. Trump talked about I can't believe I'm even going to say this. An American Iron Dome. Now, look. Does it sound nice? Yes, it does. Does the Iron Dome work in Israel? Most of the time, yes, it does. However, there's two little bits about the Israeli Iron Dome that we've got to talk about that changes a little bit when it comes to the American idea of an Iron Dome. Number one, and most importantly, Israel has people firing missiles at them. We do not. We probably don't need one of those. Also, just a little nugget for anyone who doesn't really understand this. Israel is the size of New Jersey. So it's a little bit easier to have an Iron Dome the size of New Jersey rather than one the size of the rest of the 49 states. I don't think that this Iron Dome will happen, but it was an interesting conversation piece when it came up. The Iron Dome is a missile defense system that Israel created in 2006 in the aftermath of the conflict with Hezbollah, same people they're fighting now. It can protect against oncoming short-range missiles, but building one to protect the United States is not practical due to the high costs. Reagan tried doing this sort of thing. He called it Star Wars, where they would shoot missiles out of space. You know, it's a nice idea, but I don't think it's absolutely necessary. I don't think it's absolutely necessary. They spoke about that, which I got to say was, I thought it was pretty funny. They talked about a lot of other things, too. They spoke about the idea of a sort of high-speed tunnel system to get people through California, which I think would be great. If you've ever been on the 405, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But I don't think that Iron Dome would be practical. Some of the other stuff they spoke about were a manned mission to the moon in order to put a base on the moon, which, you know, that to me seems a little ridiculous, but I don't know. There could be things about the moon we don't know about. I'd be fascinated to see what Elon Musk has in store for that. But there's no way to, there's no possible way to understate the power of last night. Now, as I said before, I think that Twitter spaces are in their infancy right now. I really do. And I think the more people use them, the better they will get. And following the massive success last night, the massive viewership, Elon Musk has extended an invitation to Kamala Harris after the Trump campaign was viewed, after the Trump conversation was viewed upwards of 80 million times. Following the two-hour conversation with Donald Trump on X, Elon Musk extended it to Kamala Harris to join him on the platform. Now, of course, Harris has not held or scheduled a single interview since Joe Biden dropped out of the race. However, following Trump's interview with Musk, which garnered over 23 million views, Harris's campaign released a statement on whatever that was that Donald Trump said. Trump's extremism and dangerous Project 25, that's all they have. They got nothing to say. Now, Kamala Harris could take this opportunity and reach far more people than she ever would speaking to Nora O'Donnell, but she won't because she's a coward. She won't because she's a coward. Matter of fact, she won't go on any of these networks. Do you know why she won't go on a lot of these networks? Because at this point, I think a lot of the mainstream media networks have outgrown their purpose. They know they're a joke. And even when they weren't seen as a joke, they at least garnered the viewership necessary to make it worth it for candidates. They no longer do that. Now they only serve another purpose, and that's to make us laugh. We'll get to that in 1 second. Before we do that, guys, do you know if you're getting enough magnesium? Because 4 out of 5 Americans simply are not. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night exhausted, and it ruins my productivity during the day because the longer it takes me to fall asleep at night, the more stressed out I get about being tired the next day. Well, ever since I added Magnesium Breakthrough to my nightly routine, I've been able to sleep soundly and get the best night of sleep ever. For me personally, Magnesium Breakthrough has helped solve my sleep problems from winding down at the end of a stressful day to tossing and turning and waking up groggy. Magnesium Breakthrough has been a game changer. Not only does Magnesium Breakthrough help you sleep better, but it also calms your mind and allows you to feel grounded and relaxed during the next day, especially before sleep. Guys, don't miss out on the most relaxing night of sleep ever with Magnesium Breakthrough. For your exclusive offer, go to biooptimizers.com/LFA. That's biooptimizers.com. /LFA. Make sure you use promo code LFA at checkout to get 10% off and free shipping. That is biooptimizers.com/LFA. So last night, Caitlin Collins, who pretends to be the moderate over on CNN because she once had a job with the Daily Caller, she went on Stephen Colbert's show. Now, normally, guys, I wouldn't bore you with a man who hasn't been funny since the Bush administration. But I do think this is pretty interesting. A lot of times you guys will see me run clips of Colbert and Jimmy Fallon and Jimmy Kimmel and that fat guy from England. And you'll hear what is a laugh track going on in the background. Of course, that's audio added afterwards to give the appearance of laughter when you are watching it. But sometimes on these networks, sometimes people laugh at unscripted moments. And one of those happened on the Stephen Colbert show the other day. He was interviewing Caitlin Collins. And you know what? I'm just going to let Stephen Colbert's audience tell you what he thinks of this joke.
Trump has kind of been thrown on his heels by this, and he's not really sure how to go after Vice President Harris. He knew his attack lines on President Biden. He really has struggled with how to go after someone who's 20 years younger than him, who is a different gender, a different race. It's kind of been this moment where he has not been able to coalesce around a single attack line.
I know you guys are objective over there, that you just report the news as it is. Oh, I know. CNN makes a... I know.
Is that supposed to be a laugh line?
I wasn't supposed to be, but I guess it is.
You're damn right it is. You're damn right it's a laugh line. CNN is objective? That is the world these people live in. But you could tell that that was a different sort of laugh from the traditional laugh tracks that run on many of these networks. That was real audience reaction. I don't know. I just don't know. Caitlin Collins, congratulations. You are now the biggest joke in the history of the Stephen Colbert Show. The biggest joke in the history of the Stephen Colbert Show. But every once in a while, CNN, I don't know, CNN gets it right. Usually when they move away from their opinion section and they go into strict data, they start to admit some things out loud that I don't know if their viewers are really too comfortable with. The other day, we showed you a map that showed, let me see if I can pull it up here. We showed you a 270 to win map that had favorable unfavorables for Donald Trump, and for Kamala Harris, excuse me. That showed Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin going to Kamala Harris. Obviously, that would be a very big deal for their campaign if they showed favorable unfavorables moving in that sort of direction. Let's get the big board up onto the screen. So based on those favorable unfavorables, Michigan goes blue, Pennsylvania goes blue, and Wisconsin goes blue. Now, obviously, as you can see here, that's 270. That's the bowl game. I think we have to change this congressional district in Nebraska, which would make it 269 to 269 dead heat. But CNN has decided to tell their viewers that if you are on the Kamala Harris campaign, I would not pop the cork too quickly. And why is that?
In those states that I mentioned, those Great Lake battleground states, Trump was underestimated by 9 points on average at this point in 2016. How about 2020? It wasn't a one-off. Look at this. He was underestimated by 5 points on average. And, of course, Kamala Harris's advantage in those New York Times, Siena College polls were 4 points in each of these key battleground states, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. The bottom line is this. If you have any idea, if you're a Kamala Harris fan and you want to rip open the champagne bottle, pop that cork, do not do it. Donald Trump is very much in this race. If we have a polling shift like we've seen in prior years from now until the final result, Donald Trump would actually win. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I am saying that he is very much in this ballgame based upon where he is right now, and compare that to where he was in prior years.
We certainly heard the Harris campaign saying, we have to keep fighting.
Absolutely.
This is definitely not over. All right. Let's talk about enthusiasm and how that translates actually. We are quite a ways out again, 3 months about.
Yeah. You know, yesterday I was mentioning, you know, the enthusiasm for the Democratic ticket was up. Yep. But that enthusiasm is not the same thing as going out to actually vote. And there's a different question, which essentially says, how certain are you actually going to go out and vote? And this is the top range, almost certain to vote. Again, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. This is among registered voters. Look at this. Look at Kamala Harris now compared to where Joe Biden was back in May. In fact, 62% of Joe Biden voters said they were almost certain to turn out and vote. Now,
it's actually gone
down a little bit. I would call this in the same general area at 61%, but it's basically unchanged. And look at Donald Trump. He was at 58% in May. He's actually gone up a little bit now. He's at 60% now. Again, basically no real change. So the bottom line here is, yes, there may be more enthusiasm for Kamala Harris, but the fact is we're not seeing that necessarily translate in the almost certain vote. And one little other note, Sarah, yeah. I will note this. Donald Trump is more popular today than he was on August 13th in either 2020 or 2016. So the bottom line is, yes, Kamala Harris is doing better in the polls, but there's a long way to go. The polls can shift. The almost certain to vote hasn't actually shifted, and Donald Trump is more popular than he was at either 2016 or 2020 at this point.
You know, when they stick to actual data and they get away from their bullshit opinions, it turns out things are not so rosy for the Democrats. Things are, oh, look, they're dancing to Beyonce before the rallies. Oh, look, Ariana Grande endorsed Kamala Harris. Someone named Olivia Rodrigo, who I've never heard of in my life because, you know, I'm not a 12-year-old girl. Endorsed Kamala Harris. Oh, hold on, guys. John Cryer endorsed Kamala Harris. You guys remember John Cryer? He's the kid who couldn't get laid in all those John Hughes movies back in the 80s. Who else is there? Oh, well, you've got Rob Reiner, who has spent his entire life proving that Archie Bunker was right. Who else we got? We got Keith Olbermann, a guy who can't hold a job. Kamala Harris relationships last longer than Keith Olbermann can keep a job. These are the fun people, though, guys. Don't you know? Barbara Streisand, a woman who hasn't made a movie since Meet the Fockers, she's all on board for them. But it turns out you, me, the guy at the grocery store, average people, they're not feeling the Kamala Harris ticket. Do you know why? Because they remember what happened in 2020. They remember what Tim Walz did in Minnesota. An older news piece has come out about exactly how the Minneapolis Police Department feels about Tim Walz. You know, Tim Walz, the guy who let the city burn. Kamala Harris, the one who bailed them out of jail. We're going to get to that in 1 minute. Before we do that,
the biggest benefit, honestly, has been with my skin. Skin was more hydrated, more radiant.
This is the best superfood that you could take.
It has all the essential nutrients you need for your skin, your gut, energy, focus, mood, performance.
My hair has gotten so much thicker ever since taking this.
I used to have a probiotic, a green juice that replaced it all with this Arma colostrum. It is amazing.
You got to take it.
If you want to try it, try Arma.com.
Guys, head on over to TryArmor.com. That's TryArmor.com/LFATV. TryArmor.com/LFATV. What is happening, everybody? What's happening? I haven't gotten a chance to talk to you guys all today. Cindy, how are you? AC Knight, what is happening? Dalton Wright, hello, hello. JB, how are you? How are you? Denise, what's happening? Shout out to Alex Dan in the chat also. Callie, happy birthday once again. Arrow Pink, hello. Joe Spag, what's up? What up, what up? Alex Dan says, day 4 of Armora, hoping for good results. You will absolutely get it. That I can promise you. Guys, make sure you hit that thumbs up button. Share this video out all over the place. Tag a friend in the chat so that they can see it. Once again, guys, if you are interested in getting involved in the Trump campaign, I've been named a Trump Force captain here in the state of New York, but I can help you out no matter where you live all over the country. So, guys, shoot me a message on Facebook, on Instagram, on X, wherever the hell it is you can find me. If you have my number, give me a call, and I'll help you guys out. if you guys are looking to get involved in the Trump campaign wherever you live. Also, remember, guys, tomorrow I'm going to have a very special guest on. Very special guest on the show. A very big guest, particularly when he's standing next to me. We'll see if the chat can guess who that incredibly tall person is. What up, MD? MDUSMC, what's up? What's up? Shout me out. There's your shout out. Giddy up. Let's go. Also, guys, head on over to LFATV.us. That's LFATV.us. That's your home base, your mothership, your landing craft, your batter's box for all things LFATV related. You can check out the LFATV shop over there. That's the best way to help out this network by becoming a monthly donor over at LFATV.com. LFATV.us, excuse me, LFATV.us. That's how we keep the show moving and grooving. So, guys, head on over to LFATV.us. It's LFATV.us. So, a lot of people have criticized Donald Trump for being, he hasn't really been out there. He did the press conference at Mar-a-Lago. He was in Montana. He did the Elon interview, but it's been a lot of Kamala Harris all the time. And I think this is a brilliant strategy. Why? Because the more people find out about Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, the less they like them. Why? Because they're inherently unlikable people. Mostly, if we go into the Wayback Machine and we think about way back to 2020, when Tim Walz allowed his capital city to be burned to the ground by a gaggle of ugly people and told his police officers to stand down and abandon a police precinct in a major American metro.
Police officers testified at the Minnesota Senate today. The officers are all board members for the Minneapolis Police Federation. And as Esme Murphy reports, they offered up a scathing critique of government and police leaders during the riots following George Floyd's death.
That's not what we stand for.
Her voice shaking, Minneapolis Police Sergeant Anna Hedberg says during the riots, officers were abandoned by state, city, and department leaders.
To watch them go through that was so heartbreaking. To know that they could have died because we were not allowed to respond the way that we have been trained to respond.
During the riots, the officers were told they could not wear protective frog suits, but were still hit and injured with bottles, cement, and more. Sergeant Hedberg blamed state, city, and department leaders for the abandonment of the third precinct.
I heard the governor say, give it up. It wasn't directly to me, it was through a phone call. No, the governor says, give up the precinct. I mean, that's demoralizing for this whole state.
And the three described a demoralized police force with dozens of officers planning to retire or quit.
I believe I speak for every Minneapolis cop when I tell you that I've never been more publicly humiliated.
They also described a city out of control.
The crime is rampant in Minneapolis.
The crime is rampant in Minneapolis. Give up the precinct. How long is it before Tim Walz says abandon the Air Force base? Abandon the military base. You know, like he did before he had to be shipped off to Iraq. Look, I said it on yesterday's show and I'll say it again. Tim Walz served 24 years in the National Guard. He did more than me. And I thank him for that. Although, something tells me, you know what? No, I'm not going to say that. That'll get me in trouble. Abandon the precinct. Not get out the fire hoses. Not get control of your city. Concede to the mob. That is not the kind of leader I want. That is not the kind of leader I need. Absolutely not. Tim Walz is an embarrassment as a leader. An absolute, utter embarrassment. We're going to move on, guys, because I do have one story that I want to make sure that I get to before the end of the show today. I want to make sure I get to this because I'm going to be honest with you, it's really funny. But before we do that, we're going to have to get into some sad stories because naturally we live in America now where people are not safe to roam about wherever they feel like. You know, in New York City, In New York City, every nationality has a parade. Every single nationality. You get stuck in traffic on 10th Avenue because, you know, it's the El Salvadorian Saint of Cabbage's High Holy Feast Day. Well, over the weekend, over the last couple of days, was the Dominican Day Parade, which I wouldn't go to if you paid me. However, it had to be shut down. It had to be shut down over the weekend over a rampant amount of stabbings. A 19-year-old man was charged with slashing an elderly man in the face. After the annual Dominican Day Parade in Manhattan, this from the Post-Millennial, on Sunday became rowdy with abusive crowds and a teenager slashing a 65-year-old across the face, city authorities abruptly shut it down. So it looks like anybody who went out there to get some mofongo is not going to be able to get some. The parade has attracted 500,000 spectators through its 42-year history that brings together local Dominican communities with a wide range of musical entertainment, and usually government stands by. The New York Post reported it started on 6th Avenue and continued to West 59th Street, entering Central Park. When the event began to unravel, the New York City Police Department quickly tried to get control of the situation by putting back barricades that the crowd had knocked over, stopping the floats, and even arresting one individual, a 19-year-old, who was charged with slashing an old man in the face and hands with a knife. Police asked the crowd to disperse, took the injured man to the hospital, and reportedly recovered the weapon on scene. The NYPD diverted the parade to 52nd Street, and several floats were barred from finishing the route. Well, if we don't have enough floats in the parade, did we even have one? I don't know why we have to have a parade every week in New York City. Every week there's a parade about something. The NYPD is concerned about public displays of violence since illegal immigrants have bitten officers and then been released from jail without bail. Years of defunding the police and reducing the force to the smallest it's been since 1990. An illegal from Venezuela shot and injured police officers in June. But of course, that is not, oh, wait a minute. I just got this update real quick. Somebody sent this to me to piggyback on what we spoke about earlier in the show about the Trump-Elon Musk interview. Remember when I told you guys that the media claimed it was a catastrophe? It was a disaster. It was riddled with errors. Yeah, it turns out the Donald Trump-Elon Musk interview just topped 1 billion views. 1 billion views. See, that's a lot of billions. That's a lot of billions. God, if that... Imagine that. Imagine that. Imagine me, okay? Guys, I have a moderately viewed show, 10, 15, 20,000 viewers, which I love, every one of you. But imagine me sitting here before all of you, talking about what a catastrophe a media event was that got 1 billion viewers. I don't think Kim Kardashian's sex tape got 1 billion views. That's a catastrophe. 1 billion views. It just broke. That's breaking the internet. That is how you break the internet. That's wild. 1 billion views, and the media wants to consider that some kind of a catastrophe. Guys, before we keep rocking and rolling here, I do have one more or two more stories that I want to get to. One that's going to make you laugh and one that's going to make you very, very upset. One that's going to make you very, very upset. Before we get to that, guys, hit that thumbs up button. Share the video out all over the place. Cindy, what's going on? Cheryl, how are you? Very, very good. Moose, what are we doing? What are we doing? God chick, how are you? Kevin, I'm only listening mode. I'm in listening mode only, but I had to chime in about the parades in New York. Really, why do we need a parade? Every weekend, about nothing. What up, Kittenhead? What up, Custom Rock? I'll be at the Whitestone Republican Club tomorrow night, 7:30 on Clintonville Avenue in Whitestone, Queens. Make sure you pop in and say hello. There may be a special guest there. I dropped my ball. There may be a special guest there tomorrow night. Well, I'll let you guys know. Sly, what up, Socrates? What up, what up, what up? So let's dive in. Obviously, now we've got to have today's segment of who did an illegal immigrant rape in public today, as a Mexican and a Nicaraguan migrant are both charged in the violent knife point rape of a 46-year-old woman on Coney Island. Let's take a look at these gems real quick. Oh, wait a minute. You mean these guys aren't the best and the brightest? These aren't the greatest among us? Somebody just told me, you seem like you could be Alex Jones' son. I certainly would take that. Are these two illegal immigrants? What, you think letting these two break into the country is somehow, what, going to better the nation? Well, it certainly didn't better the day of the 46-year-old woman that they raped at knife point on the Coney Island boardwalk. Two men have been arrested and charged in connection with the knife point rape of a 46-year-old woman in Coney Island. One of the two arrested entered the U.S. illegally in 2022. 24-year-old David Davin Bonilla from Nicaragua. All my Met fans out there know how much I hate the last name Bonilla. Different story. Allegedly grabbed the woman and threw her to the ground around 9 p.m. on Sunday, holding a knife to her throat, according to the New York Post. Then the 37-year-old Leovando Moreno, his alleged accomplice from Mexico, is accused of hitting the woman's boyfriend with a pipe when he attempted to step in and stop the attack. The attack took place outside of a hotel housing asylum seekers, where they could seek their asylum way over there at Surf Street and 16th Street. David Bonilla allegedly approached the woman demanding sex before the attack. David Bonilla was charged with first-degree rape, second-degree assault, first-degree sexual abuse, menacing, criminal possession of a weapon. Moreno has been charged with second-degree assault and possession of a weapon. David Bonilla was living at the Third Avenue La Quinta Hotel that had been converted into a shelter for illegals. Sources told the outlet that he entered the United States illegally through Texas in December of 2022. He pleaded guilty in 2023 to sexually assaulting a woman at the La Quinta. So this piece of shit rapes a woman at a hotel a year ago and isn't removed from the country. The woman was reportedly raped and sodomized inside of a hotel in April of 2023. But David Bonilla remained in the country. It is unclear when Moreno entered the country. The victim of this Sunday's attack is reportedly homeless and from out of state, currently living in an encampment underneath the Coney Island boardwalk near where the attack occurred. So, let me get this straight, New York City. You have illegal immigrant rapists raping your homeless women in public on the Coney Island boardwalk. Nothing. Nothing. You guys got nothing to say. How about this? How about we take this guy on top of the cyclone and throw him off? Put him on, great. Put him on the cyclone and then just don't put like the safety bar down and let it fling him into the ocean. Nice and easy. Why don't we take him up on the Ferris wheel and throw him off? You're calling for violence. Okay. Okay. But we have a country that sides with illegal immigrants over our most vulnerable people, homeless women in Brooklyn. Before we wrap up today, though, guys, we're going to show you what happens when some leaders around the globe decide they are going to side with foreign invaders over their own citizens. We're going to get to that in just 1 minute. Before we do, guys, head on over to loudmajorityusa.com. That's loudmajorityusa.com. Sign up for the newsletter. Check out our shop. That is the best way to support this show and everything we've got going on. If you are interested in getting involved in the Trump campaign, wherever you live. LoudMajorityUSA.com. Send me a message. I will respond personally within the next hour. I'm very good at this. LoudMajorityUSA.com. That's LoudMajorityUSA.com. And while you're there, guys, consider becoming a monthly donor. We do all this stuff for free. We need your help to support the movement. Guys, anything you can give would be great. Anything you guys can give would be absolutely great, and I absolutely appreciate it. LoudMajorityUSA.com. So, the Prime Minister of the UK decided he wanted to go to a pub in London. And it turns out that the owner of the pub just wasn't having it.
That man is not allowed in my pub. It's the landlord.
I'm not going to physically hurt him. That man... That's assault. I am not bothering you. I am not bothering him. That man is not allowed in my pub. Get out of my pub. Go on. Get out of my pub.
Thank you. Good thing you had your mask on, Keir Starmer, because nobody wants to see you. Maybe that's what happens when you side with violent Muslim grooming gangs over your own citizens. You get thrown out of places. Shit happens. Guys, I want to thank you all so much for tuning in. Once again, head on over to LoudMajorityUSA.com. That's LoudMajorityUSA.com. Check out the shop. That's the best way to support this show and everything we've got going on over there. Guys, thank you all so, so much for tuning in. Ryan Mata coming up next. Check it out, everybody. Until tomorrow, stay loud.